Welcome to episode 518 of the 1010 Thrive Podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. The seventh and final letter to the churches of ancient Asia Minor is to the church in the city of Laodicea. The last message is found in Revelation 3 verses 14 to 22. Laodicea was a wealthy, industrious city in the province of Phrygia in the Lycus Valley. Jesus identifies himself in verse 14, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. These titles emphasize the Lord's faithfulness, sovereignty, and power to bring all things to their proper completion, the Amen. After this text tells who Jesus really is, it is necessary to clarify who this church really is. We can really only know ourselves if we know God first. The people at this church have been fooling themselves to the point that what they think about themselves is the opposite of what they really are. In contrast to the other six churches, the Laodicean church has nothing to commend it. Jesus chastises them in verses 15 to 17. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you were lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus emphasizes their lukewarm, apathetic nature three times. As a result of their ambivalence to spiritual things, Jesus will have nothing to do with them. He will spit them out, as the people of Laodicea would spit out the tepid water that flowed from the underground aqueducts to their city. With their apathy comes a spiritual blindness. They claim to be rich, blessed, and self-sufficient. Perhaps they are rich in material things, but spiritually, the Laodiceans are in a wretched, pitiful condition, made all the worse in that they cannot see their need. This is a church filled with self-deceived hypocrites. Sound familiar? Jesus pleads with them to take the necessary steps in order to have the clarity of vision needed to see things as they really are, and also to be changed as they need to be changed. The alternative is divine judgment in two phases. First, it may be necessary for a little old-fashioned parental discipline. Next, there is the possibility of God spitting them from his mouth, like a mouthful of putrid water. Jesus calls the Laodicean church to repent of its sin. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Their material wealth had no eternal benefit, so Jesus commands them to come to him for true spiritual riches. Only Christ can supply an everlasting inheritance, clothe us in righteousness, and heal our spiritual blindness. Jesus then notes his concern for his church in Laodicea. Verses 19 to 20. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. His rebuke is not born of animosity, but of love. As we read in Hebrews 12, verse 6, the Lord disciplines those he loves. The desired response to God's reproof is zealous change and repentance. Verse 20 is often used as an evangelistic appeal, yet its original context communicates Christ's desire for fellowship with his lukewarm church in Laodicea. The church is nominally Christian, but Christ himself has been locked out. That's why he's on the other side of the door. Rather than turn his back on them, he knocks, seeking someone to acknowledge the church's need and open the door. If they will repent, Jesus will come in and take his rightful place in the church. He will break bread with them, fellowship with them. Jesus then makes a promise to the lukewarm believers in Laodicea. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. The overcomer refers to any believer and the promises that he will share Christ's future kingdom. To this church that is so close to being cast out from the presence of God, the greatest promises are given. Jesus wants to linger over a meal with them, something reserved only for close friends. Then he promises them the opportunity to sit with him on his throne. It is interesting to trace through the seven churches the developing phenomenon of God's people growing cold and moving away from him. How does this happen? It seems that although the battle has been won, some people are still persistently hanging on to evil and to the powers of darkness. There is no question that as we look through the history of these churches, we can see a battle between those loyal to Christ and those loyal to the great deceiver. And thus it will continue until the second coming of Jesus. But let's go a little bit deeper. This last church addressed by Jesus was in Laodicea. And we need to understand exactly who these people were. This was a wealthy city situated on a major trade route. It was famous for its woolen manufacturing industry, its banks, which held a vast quantity of gold, and a medical school, which produced, watch, salves for the eye. The prosperity of Laodicea filled its citizens with self-sufficiency. Around AD 60, when an earthquake destroyed the city, the citizens declined an offer of assistance from Rome, claiming to have all they needed to do the job of rebuilding. Since the city lacked water, it was supplied through an aqueduct that came from the hot springs at Hierapolis. The source was distant from Laodicea, so the water became lukewarm by the time it got there. Jesus does not rebuke the Christians in Laodicea for a serious sin, such as heresy or apostasy. Rather, their problem is complacency, leading to spiritual lethargy. Like the water that reached the city, they were neither refreshingly cold nor hot, but lukewarm. They claim to be rich and in need of nothing, yet they are poor, naked, and blind to their spiritual condition. Jesus does not rebuke the Christians in Laodicea for a serious sin, such as heresy or apostasy. Rather, their problem is complacency, leading to spiritual lethargy. Like the water that reached the city, they are neither refreshingly cold nor hot, but lukewarm. They claim to be rich and in need of nothing, yet they are poor, naked, and blind to their spiritual condition. The church in Laodicea symbolizes the spiritual condition of God's church near the close of this earth's history, as certain links with end-time portions of Revelation show. One such link, as given in Jesus' parenthetical warning in Revelation 16 verse 15, refers back to the white garments of Christ's righteousness needed by spiritually naked Laodicea. The warning to keep one's garments and not walk naked appears in the midst of a reference to the spiritual battle of Armageddon. Jesus wants to remind Laodicea to be ready now in advance of that terrible conflict before it is forever too late. Thus, Revelation 16 verse 15 warns Laodiceans that if they fail to heed Jesus' counsel and instead choose to remain naked, they will be lost and ashamed at his coming. Jesus assures the Laodiceans that he loves them. He appeals for them to repent. He concludes his appeal by picturing himself as the lover in Song of Songs 5 verses 2 to 6, standing at the door and knocking and pleading to be let in. Everyone who opens the door and lets him in is promised an intimate dinner with him and ultimately to reign with him on his throne. Father, we ask forgiveness for our complacency, our lethargy, our hypocrisy. Give us the zeal, give us the courage, give us the fortitude to be on fire for you now and forever. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.